You know, if we look at the struggles that we have, I think most of them, most all of them, deal with the heart or deal with the mind, right? And trying to understand that, like, the difference between the heart and the mind is like trying to understand the soul and the spirit. It's trying to separate something that's very, very close. It's like sin and trespasses, right? If you look those two words up, they mirror one another, but there is a transgression. Sin and transgression, there's a difference between those words. And so I've been struggling lately with trying to understand what the mind of the flesh is. And it's easy enough to come up with some very quick answers, some very shallow answers, some very, I guess, straightforward answers. But I want to understand that if I know what the mind of the flesh is, how come that I'm struggling with it so much? How many decisions, and this was the question that we've been kind of looking at the past couple Wednesdays, is how many decisions am I making that are actually spiritual decisions? How many? Right? What I have for dinner, is that a spiritual decision? You know, I don't have to think about what I wear when I go to work because I wear the same thing all the time. So I get up in the mornings and I'm basically brain dead just going through the motions of getting dressed and trying to go out. One day I actually left my lunch. You know, I don't know what happened that day, but something did because my routine was interrupted and I forgot my lunch. But I do the same thing, so I don't have to think about that. So, but how many decisions am I making that are really spiritual? And it got me to think about the mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. And I wanted to know, how come that we have so much problems in this life? I mean, we can say, Calvin, you're in the flesh, you're an adversary, there's the devil, there, you know, but why? Why are we struggling so much with making the right decisions? Why do we find ourselves in places that we know we should not be? Why is this happening? And so I've been looking at the mind more than at the heart at this time. And I was digging around and looking, and I pulled up a lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, and I looked at something, and it helped me to realize a couple things that helped me put it together that would maybe help me go on to the next level, right? To go deeper, to understand this a little better. So I hope that this is beneficial for everybody. Matthew 5:6 said, "Blessed those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so when I did this lesson, I looked at we looked at the word hunger and thirst because we wanted to make sure that we understood. It says, and at the time, I'm trying to make sure that I understand, because this is a revelation to me, is that just as the needs of the flesh are so real, so are the needs of the spirit. And this is something that I knew. This is when I did this lesson. This was probably 8 or 9 years ago. And so I knew something then that is that I've kind of forgot now. We have spiritual needs and we have physical needs. And we're so consumed with our physical needs and wants that we forget and we start to push off the spiritual needs. You know why so many people get in problems with their taxes when they're in business for themselves? Because you need the credit card when you go to get gas and to stay in hotels and to buy meals or whatever. So you can't miss your credit card payment. They'll shut that down. You can't do that. You got to have equipment. When the equipment breaks, you got to buy more equipment because you can't do the work without the equipment. The only thing you can really push off is the taxes, because that doesn't affect your drill, that doesn't affect your panel cart, that doesn't affect your car, doesn't affect your wheels, right? But it does. Because the time comes when that demands everything you have and you have nothing left to put on. So many people get in trouble with their taxes because that's the one thing they can push off. And in our life, the one thing, when things get too reckless, do you know what we push off? Our spiritual life. Because it only makes sense. You got to eat. You got to sleep. You got kids. You got to take care of them. You got to do for them. You got to shop. You got to mow the yard. You got to change the oil. You got to get new tires. You got to research. You got to do all this stuff that you're doing, right? Just normal stuff. And it becomes too much. And you don't have time for anything else, so you push off the spiritual. Well, I was trying to tell myself this here years ago. And when I read this, it was no great revelation, but it definitely was a reminder to me that the needs of my spirit are real. And I even asked, before I got to this, as I was trying to find answers, how many spiritual decisions am I actually making? And that word hunger there means to famish, to crave, to toil for daily sustenance, starving and poor. The purpose behind Jesus showing these things is to understand that we were spiritually bankrupt without Him. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, without God, without a focus on our spiritual life, we are spiritually bankrupt. Anybody know what bankrupt means? You don't have nothing. They've come and taken everything. You got nothing. And so, do I look at my spiritual life, I mean, to famish, to crave? Gosh, I know what it means to crave. I know what it means to toil for daily substance. But do I know what it means to focus that kind of dedication, that kind of energy on my spirit? And my answer is, 9 years ago, I was telling myself that this is what I needed to do. This was where I needed to build. But for some reason, I moved in another direction because I found that 9 years later, this is not necessarily what I'm doing. The word thirst, just as the needs of the flesh are real, so are the needs of the spirit, because through repetition we learn. So I'm reminding myself that hunger and thirst are two things that will drive us. We were in bed the other night, and it was Friday night, and we had nowhere to be Saturday, and it's a great feeling. And so we just messed around and played, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning before we were going to bed. And I was like, what? It's 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. And Melissa said, I'm hungry. And I said, oh, gosh, don't tell me you're going to get up and go get something to eat, because if you do, I got to go with you, right? I'm not going to pass up a midnight snack. And we lay there. She said, no, I'm not getting up. Well, you know, she did. And so did I, right? See, hunger brought us out of that warm, comfy bed where we were starting to drift off to sleep. But hunger brought us out of that, and we went and got something to eat. We just went in the living room, our kitchen, and got something to eat. The thirst, literally or figuratively. I can't say that I any time in my life I've really been so thirsty that I felt like I was dying until I was in the hospital recovering from, bless you, from COVID. They were giving me so many steroids to calm down or fix or whatever it is, you know. I mean, I'm alive, so whatever they did worked. And so they were giving me these massive doses of steroids, and I could literally take a drink from a straw, you know, the hospital cups they give you. I could literally take a drink, I'd swish it around in my mouth, and as soon as it was leave, I was dying of thirst again. And because I couldn't get out of the bed, they had a catheter. So with all the water I was drinking, I was peeing like crazy. Of course, I didn't know it, because when you have a catheter, you don't feel it, right? And so they're getting aggravated at having to continue to change my catheter. So they're trying to resist the water, take the water away from me. That didn't go over well with my wife. She said, I know I'm not going to have to come down there and make sure that he gets water. And they didn't take away my water. Oh, no, we wouldn't do that. Yeah, they wouldn't do that because she called. They knew. They knew. She took great care of me. But until then, I don't think I understood what thirst meant. And so I was desperate for anything. I told him, I said, well, just give me the sponge where I could just keep my mouth wet, because immediately it would dry out. But I would no quicker take the sponge out than my mouth would dry out. And it would start my lips. It was that fast. And so when I'm away from the Word of God, when I'm away from this table, when I'm away from you, when I'm away from this mindset, do I thirst like that to get back to it? Not in the way that I understand thirst or hunger. John 7:37 through 39 says, if Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he says that what he's talking about, verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit. And you go on, it says the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had to go away before that happened. So he's talking about the indwelling Spirit. And so this hunger and thirst, by the Holy Spirit, we are satisfied. This morning, as you're endeavoring to learn, as you come and you partook of the communion and we got around one another and we had a prayer time and we and in Sunday school we kind of talked and we tried to stir up our hearts and minds. Were we satisfied this morning? Did we find some satisfaction? We did. We felt close to God. We felt close to answers, didn't we? As we talked, we were optimistic about God giving us answers. You see, the Bible says by the Holy Spirit we're satisfied. That hunger and thirst to get close to God that's spiritual, the Holy Spirit satisfies that. And so when I saw this answer 9 years ago, or however long it actually was, I don't know, but I got a date when the document was actually created, but it was a long time ago. And when I saw this, I thought, okay. So the Holy Spirit within me and the Word of God. And I have spent time with the two of those studying. But something must have happened. I must have been doing something wrong. You know why? Because I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't satisfied. I didn't feel satisfied. I wasn't getting satisfied. Why wasn't I getting satisfied? What was happening? Is God not strong enough? What am I doing wrong? I can understand this right here, that He spoke this concerning the Spirit, that hunger and thirst, this mindset, this question that I have, how many spiritual decisions do I make? And it says that by the Holy Spirit, all of this stuff happens. So I took the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and I set off on my journey to learn. You see, but we seek our satisfaction in the flesh, but we find the things of the Spirit that they're burdensome. That's what I did with that knowledge. I took the Holy Spirit of God. I took the Word of God. I set off on my work to grow closer to God. But those are the things that came burdensome in my life. Those are the things that it seemed like were the hardest to do. These were the hardest things to do. Why were they? They shouldn't have been. Do you know what satisfaction feels like? I do. You know, when I come home Friday and my wife had made a steak, and I knew she was making the steak, and then she made some chicken, which I like chicken when we go other places, but I just don't like chicken when she cooks it, right? And it's not her fault. We tried many different ways. I just don't like it. And she's okay with it, but I don't like it. So I'm like, I don't want no dry chicken. Just get me a steak. So she gets the steak, and she does the chicken two different ways, and we figure out why it's so dry, right? It's better in the pan to be fried. You put it in the air fryer. Everything goes right in the air fryer. So we cook our steaks, our shrimp. Chicken doesn't do so well in there. It dries it out, right? Pork chops can do good in there, but not chicken. We found that out. So anyway, she made this. And she also did something else that I really like. She's been a little mean to me this week. And so this is her way of saying that she was sorry. And I'd been a little mean to her, so I said I was sorry too. Anyway, it was a tough week. I don't know what happened. But anyway, so she made zucchini, squash, onions, and mushrooms and grilled them up with the butter and stuff. And you can take, like huge amounts of it. And when you grill it, I mean, put it in the pan, it just fries down to nothing, right? Yeah. And but she did it, and it was just, it was perfect. When I sit down and ate, I just had a smile on my face. I took a picture. I forgot to send it to you, but I usually, it was just perfect. Absolutely perfect. And see, that's satisfaction. When you finally get something that you have wanted, that is satisfaction. So why am I not feeling that way with growing closer to God? You see, and I think the reason, one of the things that I missed is that I say we're only thinking, I'm only thinking with the mind of the flesh. I understand that there is a spirit. I understand that He is in me. I understand that the Word of God fuels that spirit, and then that spirit inside of me, He gives me satisfaction, He brings me joy, He gives me strength. But I take all of that knowledge that I understand, but I'm only thinking with the mind of the flesh. Only thinking with the mind of the flesh. I'm only thinking about my hunger and my thirst. And I'm here to tell you, if that's all we think about, that's all that we will satisfy. And we won't have time for anything else. Because I'm going to give you a little secret. You can spend your entire life trying to please your spouse. And you know what the answer is you're going to come up with? You can't do it. You can't do it. You know why? Because you're not going to keep that person happy all the time. And your whole life is dedicated to making sure that your spouse is happy. But then there's times when that is just not going to work out and you're going to try harder. You see, the flesh is never satisfied. Never. And so if all we think about is the mind of the flesh, it will consume us. It will consume us. And if you have, I don't care, if you have to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to think with the mind of the Spirit now. I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to take time to focus on my walk with God and my eternal resting place with Him. If you have to say that to yourself to get you in that mindset, then do it. But you have to get out of the mind of the flesh. And the reason that the things of the Spirit are burdensome is because we don't want to get out of the mind of the flesh. We don't. Because that's where we find satisfaction. That's where we find comfort. That's where we really want our joy to be. Isn't it? I mean, that meal was great. To just have that kind of just like, oh man, this is great. If we went anywhere in the world to eat, I wouldn't want anything that makes... I told her, I wouldn't want anything in the world that is making me feel better than this stuff right now, right? That was satisfaction. And so that's the satisfaction that we crave for everything in our life. To feel good about what we're doing. And so when we think in that direction, and that's the only way that we think, we find that the things of the Spirit become burdensome. But why is that? Isn't God stronger than this flesh? Isn't God stronger than our desires? Well, He should be. He better be. Then why are we having this struggle? You see, spiritual hunger is where we start to understand that our fulfillment is no longer found in the things of this world, but in the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. That's what I told you I learned all those years ago. So why hasn't that bore fruit? Why hasn't that become the reality in my life? Through this and through what we just read, we can understand that our spirit needs just like our flesh needs. Who provides for our flesh? When we're hungry, when we're tired, who does this? You ever gone to bed when you didn't want to go to bed? You were tired, you wanted to stay up, you wanted to hang out with your friends, or you wanted to finish the movie, you wanted to watch the rest of the game. I mean, I think it was the Titans against the Chiefs, and I think it was, and the Titans were just tough. I mean, they were just hammering these guys, right? Great game. But I couldn't stay up to finish watching it because I was tired. So I had to make myself go to bed. It's not what I wanted to do, but the hunger, the thirst, the needs of the flesh outwon what even I wanted to do. You starting to see something here? I didn't then, but I do now. If our spirit has needs, who's going to take care of them? You know who I thought was going to take care of them? Because He's God. This is dealing with the Spirit. This is dealing with the Word. This is dealing with the Holy Spirit. I thought that God was going to take care of that part of my life. I didn't realize that just as I went to bed when I didn't want to go to bed, that I took care of a need that existed in my life. I have to be conscious to the needs of the Spirit, and I have to take care of them. You see, we think that God comes into our life and He takes control of everything, and something is biting me. But He doesn't. You do. Watch. Romans 12, 1 through 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. This is Paul talking to the church, calling them brothers in Christ. He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's a personal responsibility. You present your bodies. And see, I saw that. I wrote that. This is what I wrote before. Personal responsibility. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which was our reasonable service. You know, the only thing that is stronger than our desires in the flesh is the Spirit. You know why Jesus did not live forever? Because He knew that this flesh would never be satisfied, and the only way to stop it was to crucify it. You would have thought that the Son of God could have lived forever. I'm talking about in this body. But He showed us that this, that wasn't the purpose. This is a fallen body. The only way to stop this body is to kill it. Our personal responsibilities is we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And He says that's a reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, which is your personal walk, what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I read this, all I saw was the physical part of this. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. The personal responsibility of me with my physical body to come before God to do something about it. And I think that if there's any one, two, or three things that you could hear if you listen to the messages, is would be that in this congregation, I push because I need it most is personal responsibility. I think that's one of the at least top three things that you would hear throughout, scattered throughout all of these messages, is a personal responsibility. Because I need to be held accountable. And so I saw that in this. But see, how long has our only focus been on the outward man, the mind of the flesh? How long has that been my focus? I learned that here, and that was my focus on the outward man, the flesh. My responsibility in the flesh. I forgot about my responsibility in the Spirit. I forgot about being concerned not only with my physical needs, but also with my spiritual needs. And just as I went to bed that night when I wanted to stay up and watch that game, I have to take care of the Spirit the same way, and there may be times when I have to stop in the flesh what I'm doing to take care of the Spirit. And it may not be what I want to do. The Spirit within us is alive also. We have a responsibility of what we do with Him too. If we've come to the place to know that we are both spiritual and physical, and we have physical needs, and we take care of those physical needs, and that personal responsibility is laid on us to take care of those physical needs. What do we think the responsibility is laid on us to take care of our spiritual needs? If God put it personally responsible for us to deal with our flesh, then He also put it personally responsible for us to deal with the Spirit. Remember when it says, if you hunger and thirst, that you will be filled? Psalm 17 through 15 says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. We say this is what we want. To be like Christ. Christ was aware of the Spirit. Christ was aware of His spiritual needs. And you know how He lived His life? Taking care of His spiritual needs. That's why you see that He had no family. That's why you see that He said, I had no place to lay my head. It's not that He didn't acknowledge the physical needs. But He acknowledged the spiritual needs in the same way. When Jesus raised from the dead and He come up among the disciples, right, in that upper room, you know one of the things that He did? He ate with them. Right? He ate with them. We are so in tune to our physical needs. And I'm saying, for my part, and so I hope that this helps you, for my part, I'm not as in tune to my spiritual needs. I understand the Spirit, I understand the Word of God, I understand that this is how I learn, and so I took this information and I started my walk. But I forgot that I had a personal responsibility for that Spirit that lived in me to take care of His needs. And that was one of the things that I was missing. Why is it burdensome? Well, you know what? You would say, gosh, that's pretty hard to say that the things of God are burdensome. But needs in general are burdensome. Needs in general are burdensome. You know, I have one day a week where I shave, I clean up my nose, my ear hair, I clean my ears out. When I wash my head, I wash it with a Dawn antibacterial because that works with, because I wear a hard hat all the time, right? So I scrub my head. I take one day where I do all this, and it takes forever. It takes forever. Needs are burdensome. I only do this once a week, and I hate doing it. Right, I'm the guy that gets in the shower and I wash and I clean up and I just go about my business. Right, I own one brush. My wife has multiple brushes. This is my brush right here. Right, this is what I do. You see me do it all the time, all the time. But I have to take time because I know that if I don't clean myself up somewhat, my wife would leave me. Right, she would just wake up and say, "I'm done." You know, I'm leaving. I got to do that same thing with my spirit, don't I? The Spirit that lives in me, the Holy Spirit of God, I have to do the same thing. And just as taking care of the needs of the flesh can be burdensome, so we're taking care of the needs of the Spirit. They can be burdensome too. Let's don't shy away from that. Let's understand that. And so let's say, okay, taking care of my body is tough. Like you go to the gym, right? You eat right and you have this vision that you're going to eat right and then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be this God, right? You know, the reality is you're just holding on to just your pants not falling down, right? You're just holding on to having the shirt that you bought last week still fit. That's all you're doing. You're dieting, you're struggling, and you see very little results. Very little results. We know this, but we think to motivate ourselves that we're just going to be gorgeous at some point in our life, right? It's not going to happen. We're already beautiful, right? We're already that person. You know why we know that? Because God said we were. Our children said we were. Our friends said that without you, I don't know where I'd be, right? Our spouse has said, I love you, right? This is before I trimmed my nose hair and did my ears, right? And she looked at me and said, I love you. We think and we struggle and we strive and we do not quit to try to take care of the flesh. All I'm saying is, we should be putting the same dedication and taking care of the spiritual side, shouldn't we? So when I ask myself a year from now, Lord willing, if how many spiritual decisions that I can make, how many spiritual decisions do I actually make? I should be able to have a real answer for that. And I'm not talking about seven, okay? I'm saying that I should have some growth in this area in my life, shouldn't I? Well, I'm doing great. It is 12 o'clock. You see, a transition is occurring from just thinking about and living in the flesh to now living with flesh and spirit. See, before, we lived in the flesh and we thought the spirit would take care of itself, didn't we? When we read the Word of God, we thought we were feeding the spirit and then that was sufficient. When we come to church, we thought we were feeding the spirit and that was sufficient. Right? I mean, am I hitting some sort of a mindset that we've all thought about? When we help somebody, we're thinking about this is fulfilling the need of the Spirit. The Spirit is in you and has need to have more control of your life. And I'm not talking about all these other things that we do. Remember what we just read? Was it in Romans? Reasonable service. All these things that we thought that we were feeding the Spirit and this was what was happening. God said this was a reasonable service. What He wants from you is He wants you to recognize that you have a flesh that you're living in, but a spiritual God to glorify. And the only way that you can do that is allow Him to have more control of your life. How many spiritual decisions are you actually making? When I ask myself that question, I'm like, what am I doing then? What have I learned all these years? I mean, I've learned something, but I want to learn more. You see, the reason we see Jesus the way that we saw Him, and we thought, and not that we think, but He was so magnificent before God, is because He did one thing that we're able to do, but we don't do. He recognized the spiritual side of His life, and He worked to satisfy that spiritual side of His life. That's not something that we do on a general basis. At least for me, right? I was thinking about the flesh. That's where I'm at. Because I thought God, what did we see here? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, I thought that by reading Scripture, it would renew my mind. That's what I thought. That's what it says. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But see, how we do that is we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's the part that I missed. I don't want to present my body as a living sacrifice, right? There's things that I want to do. And I'm just being honest. So my mind is the spirit side says, look, we can't both live together. There's going to come a time when we will separate. The earthly body will go on the ground and the spiritual body will move on. We can't live in harmony in this body. As a Christian, we have to know that the Spirit has to take control. And I'm not talking about that we have no mind of our own, that we don't ever do anything that we want to do. But I'm saying that we consciously, if it's a personal responsibility for us to walk in the flesh and present our bodies as a living sacrifice, it is a personal responsibility that we let the Spirit renew our minds. Because all responsibility in the flesh is pushed off on us. But how do we renew our minds? By presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. That is a personal responsibility that we do. I thought that the Spirit and the Word would simply transform my mind. That's what I thought. And I have to realize that it comes down to this. I know the right thing to do, and I know what I want to do. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You see, there's a big difference between knowing and doing. Just because the Spirit and the Word work together to bring about a conversion in my mind doesn't mean that my heart is going to listen to that. It doesn't mean that I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I have to do it. And I don't do very well with doing things that I don't like to do. My wife will tell you that. She could change one thing about me, it would be that. I'm a fighter. I don't go down easy. She don't either, but I don't like doing things that I don't like to do. It's a struggle for me. And that's why I've had so much struggle with this. But you know, nothing will change me more than I see that it is upsetting my wife. And so I bring this opposition, and then my wife shows me that she doesn't like it. And more than I want to please myself, I want to take care of her. And so the answer, she always asks me, she says, why do I have to fight for everything to get you to say yes? This is why. Because I don't want to do it. But what I want to do more is please her. What I want to do more here is either please my flesh or please God. And I've already told you where my flesh stands. If I will submit to my wife to make her happy because I want to make her happy, then in the Spirit, I have to realize that I'm going to submit to God to make Him happy. And you know what? That means exactly what it says. When I do this for my wife, I don't like doing it, but I get joy that she's happy. Do I consider that my God is happy because of the struggles I'm going through for His sake? Yes, He is. But my mind is not thinking that way. It's only thinking that I don't want to do this. There is a wrestle between the flesh and the Spirit. That is now our way of life. But the pull that we want and yielding fruit of the Spirit will drive us in one direction or the other. You can't live in harmony. When you look at this picture, and it shows Satan and Jesus arm wrestling, you know, and so you look at the devil and you think, gosh, I wouldn't grab his hand, right? I mean, he's obviously strong and mean and he could overpower me. But you know, the reality is why would he consider that he could grab the hand of God? This is the God that we serve. There is no fight between them. Scripture has told us that he has already defeated him. So why do we live as though he hasn't been defeated? He has been. Have we come to a mindset that the things of this world do not satisfy us? My answer to that is no. I've not come to that mindset. I know that that mindset should be there. I know, but I've got to grow past this. And the only way to grow spiritually past this is to suffer through this part of learning. Can you see for one moment how God can be glorified in your sufferings? Can you see that for one moment? Because the only way for me to grow past this is to suffer with something I don't want to do. And that almost sounds crazy. That almost sounds crazy. We've read it before, but we've got to learn to understand it and live it. And so am I willing to suffer a little bit for the sake of God? Yes. And so that's where I'm at. How many spiritual decisions do I make? I'm going to work hard on making more. He didn't win. The devil didn't win. Don't let him win in your life. Peter had the same choice to make on the day of Pentecost when he stood up. He had the same choice to make. When Peter and the apostles started to preach about Jesus, they grabbed him and they took him, and the leader of the Jews, they beat them and warned them not to teach in this man's name. And they went off rejoicing. And I thought, when I would read that, I thought, how did they do that, right? But do you know, now I can see how they did that. But that doesn't mean, I can see how they did it, but does that mean that I'm going to do it? That's a decision that only I can make. Am I willing to suffer for the sake of Christ? Yes. So, I got to get down to business. I got to change my mindset. God isn't going to do this for me. He's going to give me every tool that I need, every advantage that I need, all of the truth that I need. But am I simply going to do it? Right? Am I going to go to the Sunflower Festival again? Never. But I'll go back to the pumpkin patch. And you know what the pumpkin patch, you know what they have? Sunflowers, right? So she can see the little sunflowers. But I will never go back to the Sunflower Festival. We have boundaries. But we've got to learn to let God have more control of our thoughts. And we have to do this. He's not just going to automatically do it for us. And I thought He was. I thought by reading and studying that He was going to transform my mind. We have to let Him. We have to do it. We have to make it happen. So Peter got up on the day of Pentecost and he preached the first gospel sermon and he told those Jews, "Know assuredly that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they couldn't believe how much they had messed up. They couldn't believe that if this is true, what do we do now? We have destroyed God's plan. And God said, "You didn't destroy anything. That was the plan. I want you to understand how reckless you are when you come to me. I want you to understand what kind of a person you are when you come to me. What you're willing to do for the sake of yourself." And He said, "Now let me show you what you're willing to do for my sake. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit." And He told you that was a promise. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?